over. Amen. Let's go over to, let's go over to Mark's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. We are constantly working on the mission field, and I'm glad about it because I like missions, and we're constantly building our missions fund. So if the Lord would speak to you about helping in our missions fund, it's a section on your envelope, or just put missions, just write it on your envelope, whatever contribution you'd like to make. Also, I extend this to our online audience as well, and streaming audience. Our next trip is to Central America, where we normally go to, usually Panama and Costa Rica and maybe Nicaragua or Honduras. And it's really a good trip. And again, what we do is we take the gospel to where we go. So it's a good time. So let's look at this, because that's what, to me, when I think about money, that's the first thing I think about, is that money is to be used to spread the gospel. Amen. Now, I know we have to buy things and so forth, but I want to show you something. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. He said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." The violent take it by force. For he said here, in verse 11, "And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Now, let's look at this. I wanted to talk about something. The significance, I was hearing a person talking about this the other day. Your significance. He is saying that as far as significance goes, that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great, great prophet of God. But anybody that's born into the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. So the least significant person in the body of Christ is more significant than anybody in the world. I know that's hard to take. Okay. Now, once you're in the kingdom, in Romans chapter 11, and chapter 11 and verse 29, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So your calling is without repentance. Whatever calling and whatever gifts God has given you, he won't take them back. So they are without repentance. So he won't take them back. Now, so your gifts and calling being irreversible, the next thing is that heaven has set aside billions to finance your calling. Amen. Let me say that again. Heaven has set aside billions to finance your calling. Isn't that powerful? Now, I said this on Sunday, but you can take this for what it's worth. Adam and Eve were multi-trillionaires. Think about it. They're the only ones that had all this wealth. Now, when Adam sinned, he lost all of that. And he lost the ability for God to provide for him. He lost the ability for God to provide for him. Now, that is probably one of the most significant things that happened, because when Jesus came into the world, Jesus came and restored mankind to his or her original power and provision. When Jesus came into the world, he came to restore mankind to his or her original power and provision. Okay? And you can feel free to step out with the children if they're keeping up noise, because we want to make sure that we get the word of God. And we've got speakers in the other places. Okay? Now, there's something significant here that I want you to see. And that is that I was asked some questions last night. We were talking about the elections and so forth. They said, "Well, Pastor Winston, what are you preaching?" I said, "I'm preaching self-sufficiency. I'm preaching that I don't need to depend on the world to make me somebody." See? Because if a person can, if anyone that can give everything to you can also take everything from you. I learned that when I was in graduate school in business. Any person, they were talking about power, and they said anybody that can give you power can also take it back. It's kind of interesting. It said power has to be taken. And I said, "Well, now that's good." But once I trust and put all my trust in the Lord, then he becomes my source, my supply. He becomes my provider, my protector, my everything. And people who don't know the principles here think that's some kind of a cop out. Well, you're just running from the truth. I'm not running from the truth. I'm running to the truth. I'm talking about the truth. And what the world has done is they've taken God out of the mix, and they've tried to make it without God. Well, how do you do that? Well, that means that if you get a lot, then I get a little. And if I take what you got, now you got a little, then I've got a lot. See, that's socialism. That's saying that that person is your, that person is the only way I'm gonna get my needs met is through that person. You can't, I'm not going to fall for that. Because if I'm up on Mount Vesuvius and the only one up there is me, my God shall supply all my need. Do you know he has got an eagle that can fly that high and bring me bread in the morning and bread in the evening. Now this is very important, because what happens in this kind of thing is people, for some reason, there's a tendency that if you are gung-ho for God, it's almost like some people look at it as a weakness. But that's a strength. And you'll find that the more you fellowship and experience God, the more you find you need God. You know, like your natural parents, if you grow up around them, pretty soon you get old and you get off the bottle and, you know, pretty soon you start making your own way. Or you should. You know, these big old kids hanging around their mama. Boy, I'm telling you, you come on, go to work. But with God, the more you experience Him, the more you know you need Him. So, I'm looking at this, and they were asking me about that. So, I'm saying that Jesus got it back. He got back the ability for us to allow God to provide for us. Now, that's a very strong statement. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. I'm just taking my time here. Matthew chapter 6. Now, look what he said in verse 24. No man can serve two masters. He'll either hate one or love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So what he's saying is that I'm bringing you off that system now. Now, you can't serve two of them. See? You're going to love one and hate the other, hold to one and despise the other. Despise means to think low of. You cannot serve God and mammon, or the God of money. I've got to know that if God doesn't provide for me, I'm going to have to be provided for somewhere. So God knows that. So He makes sure that He provides for you, because He doesn't want you to defect back to that other system. He is your Father. Father means source and sustainer. So if you look at this, look at verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, or the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Okay? So if He'll take care of a bird, will He take care of you? I have never seen a bird on the side of the road, you know, can't fly and so forth because he's starving to death. I've never seen that. Every bird I saw flew, you know, yeah. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? All right, now I like this because I wrote something down here. And what I wrote down is this, is that the thought about provision before Adam sinned had never existed. Any thought about taking care of myself before the sin of Adam and Eve never, ever existed. Hadn't existed yet. Adam never thought about taking care of himself because he didn't have to. Everything was taken care of for him. Glory to God. All right, let's go on down. Y'all seem to be very enthusiastic tonight. Verse 29, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first, keep going, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All right? Put that up there in the Amplified Translation, please, 633. And look what he says. He said, but seek, aim, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness. Watch this. His way of doing and being right. Now this deep stuff right here, this is where it gets deep. If you have a car and it's misfiring, Is it running right?
No.
Nope. See? If you're doing things the way the world does them, you're not running right. You got it now? See, when you come over and do things the way God had planned for them to be done, now you are right with God. Are y'all with me here? Now, the way he planned things to be done is, he said, and put that up there again in the Amplified, please. He said, being right. His way of doing and being right. His way of doing things. All right? Now, God's way of doing things is, first of all, by faith. All right? Let's look at that. All right? Let's look over in Romans chapter 1 in verse 16 and 17. He says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? By faith. All right. So I'm going to live by faith. All right. So let's go over to Isaiah chapter 50. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. See, I'm trying to make it so that after I finish teaching this, you are so boxed in till you can't get out, until you're going to be forced to do it God's way. Praise God. All right, I'm trying to shut every door the devil has tried to open up. All right, look at verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. And he said to Philip, where can we buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Stop right there, all right? Everyone may take a little, all right? Let's take that same scripture there and look at it in the NIV translation, right there, that same scripture right there. Now he said this, Philip answered, it would take more than what? A half year's what? Wages to do what? Buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. So, right away, when God gives them something to do, this is God now speaking to Jesus and feed them, because Jesus never did anything without the Father. So the Father speaking to feed them, right away, the disciples in their mind took that and assigned how much work they have to do to produce money, come on, to buy what's needed to fulfill God's command. God is not going to give you a command and then give the burden to you to try to fill it. I used to tell people like this, if God doesn't pay for it, he don't want it. Why would he give you all this big stuff and so forth and then make you pay for it, make you go to work, get two jobs, struggle and so forth? Are you following what I'm saying? And all that came out of the fact of the fall, where Adam put himself in a position that God could no longer provide for him. All right? But Jesus got us back. So he's now trying to teach us how to live again like Adam lived before the fall. All right? So put that scripture up there one more time. All right? Look what he says. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Ask it in NIV, please. In NIV. And Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. All right. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. I'm operating now like a Philadelphia lawyer. I'm going to slow walk you right on down. I'm going to build my case here. Look what he says. Ho, I say yo. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So once I get in the kingdom, faith is the only currency God will accept. I want to say it again. Once I get into the kingdom, faith is the only currency God will accept. Try it again. Once I get into the kingdom, faith is the only currency God will accept. Isn't that powerful? Look, let me show you, and this is another example. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and look at verse 25. This is the woman who had the issue of blood. Watch this. Now, I'm just trying to point out some things that perhaps you haven't seen or were not obvious. And a certain woman had an issue of blood, how many years? 12 years. And he had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent, come on, all that she had. Underline that, please. Had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew what? She got worse. And she heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind to touch his garment and touch his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Check it out. And straightway the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, Master, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy money. Y'all with that? That faith. See, I tried this. I tried when we were living in Sister Beverly's house. I'm trying to get out with money. I tried to accumulate enough money to get out to get us an apartment. I tried to get out, couldn't get out. Every time looked like I tried to get out, something would happen, the money would be eaten up, so forth and so on. You see what I'm saying? I was trying to do it without faith. So I'm just saying, if you've got faith, that is the only currency God will accept. That means you don't have to have a dime in the bank. Are you with me? And you don't have to have a dime in the bank, and you can buy your house. See, I know right now what you're saying is, wait a minute now, Pastor, hold on. No, you hold on. Because you haven't read what God has already put up for you to fulfill your assignment. See, you haven't read that, apparently. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10, he talks about the fact, he says, and it shall be the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give thee great and goodly, what? Cities, which you build it not, and what? Houses full of all good things which you fill not. Say, I'm on assignment. If you're on assignment, you're like me in the military. They had my housing. Glory to God. They had everything that I need, my kids, everything. So everything for you is paid for. God has set aside billions for each one of us to fulfill their assignment. You got to get that. Boy, you get that in your mind. See, if you get that in your vision, if that comes in your vision, your pressure of thinking about money thing is over. Now, let's go back up to John's Gospel, chapter 6 again, and take up where we left off. John chapter 6 and take up where we left off. Let's see how that need was met. When Jesus' disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here. Come on, move the thing. There's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what is that among so many? Okay. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about how many thousand? 5,000. Glory to God. And Jesus then took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were sat down, likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Keep going now. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, now gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments and 5 barley loaves, which remain over and above them that had eaten. Check it out. All right, now let's stay with the program here. So he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, God's way of what? Doing and being right. So God's way of doing things is a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Amen. That's his way of doing things. That's his economy. That's his economy. Right now, in me is a word, but I spent time to get it. Say amen to this. So I'm saying, if you have a need, then there's a seed you sow. Wow, the world doesn't have this. They're just stuck. You are never stuck. Amen. You have a way out that all you need to do is come up with some seed. Amen. Now, somebody said, well, you just trying to make a Santa Claus out of God. Hold it. You're sowing seed that's calling for the harvest God has already provided. Boy, that's gonna work with you right there. You are sowing seed that would call for the harvest he's already provided. Didn't I just tell you he's already provided billions to finance your, what did I say first? Your calling. Because I want to use a word. In Romans chapter 11, it says the gifts and the callings are without repentance. I'm just trying to use that word so y'all won't get home and say, well, I don't understand this. Well, get the word that I use and you can understand. So how much do I have to finance my calling? Come on, show me. Billions. Let me ask you, could I take care of the M&M budget myself? Can you?
Yes.
This is what I'm trying to get to you. I'm trying to get to you. What has happened is our old thinking has thought wrong. Stop thinking like that. Right. You're back in the Garden of Eden. You're loaded. Yes. But it's been put away for you, and you access it by the means that God has called for you to access it. Any one of us could pay for anything. You could pay. I'm telling you, all you got to do is know how to work this principle.
That's right.
You're not trying to get some sugar daddy or God be a Santa Claus. Stop thinking like that. What you're doing, he's laid it up, but you can't get it except with seed. Are you following what I'm saying? Stop talking about I don't have enough. You just canceled your seed. You just canceled your resource. You can't say that. I can't afford that. See, Pastor, I really can't. Find somewhere else to say it. Don't say it like that. Because look what it says in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3. This is on tithing now. In verse 10. Just look at it. Let's look at that. Bring all ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He'll not destroy the fruits of your ground, and neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Watch this. And all nations shall call you what? Blessed. For you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. See, most time we stop right there. Your words have been stout against me. See, they don't go that far. Because you can tithe and cancel the harvest off your tithe with your mouth. Your mouth rules over everything. Proverbs 18:21, please. Over in Proverbs 18:21, look what it says. He says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 6, verse 2, please. Over in Proverbs 6, verse 2, he said this, word to God, thou art snared with the words of your mouth. You are taken captive by your words. You got what I'm saying? So you can stop your harvest with your mouth. You got what I'm saying? Even though this is supposed to work for you. But I'm up here looking at the circumstances and saying something that I shouldn't be saying, that's overriding the law that God put in place to make sure that I have more than enough. If God has given you billions to finance a calling, you can pay for the trip to Costa Rica and send for it. See, but we never thought about that. Well, can I do that? I just told you you could. Either you got to believe your prophet in the Bible or you got to go see another. Who did God use to finance feeding 5,000 men plus women and children in that? He used a little boy. The little boy caught it. Little boy faith. You know, faith is a child. A child is interesting because they got an imagination, first of all. And I'm just saying the same thing about you and so forth. So you're going to your job. You're not there so they can meet your needs. You've been assigned that job to make sure their needs are met. Isn't that wonderful? See, it's all about love. And love always puts the other person first. That's good, isn't it? It's not about greed. It's not about all these things. Well, he always talks about money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about provision. Provision is more than money. Provision is healing. Provision is wisdom. Come on, provision is a job. Provision is a happy marriage. Love, amen, love. So what did I say about faith and God? What did I say? Faith is the only currency. You know, y'all kind of slow to respond. And I just wonder if you are just taking notes? Or is this something you're gonna read when you get home? You know what I mean? Yeah, just set yourself that this is the way you're gonna live. I gotta live this way. Pastor, that's what they asked him last night. You know, what are you teaching these people? I'm teaching them how to live independent of that wicked, curse-based system that is full of fear and is designed to cripple you and enslave you for the rest of your life. I'm trying to make it so when you get retired, if you do retire, you don't have to work at McDonald's. I'm trying to make it so that there's more than enough in your house. You mean single mother? That doesn't make any difference. You can still send your kid to Stanford. Doesn't make any difference. You operating this right here, folks, it shuts all that other down. All right, now let's read a scripture and look at this scripture in the light of what we just talked about. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. About 20. All right. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Glory to God. Now, let's look at it in the light of what we just talked about. Now, I'm taking a little more time with this because I see what is happening. And we talked on the blessing on Sundays. And well, let me tell you, I don't know about you, but that thing is blessing me. You know, I was reading it the other day and I got drunk. So I had to put it aside. I said, man, I can't read this right now. I got something to do. And because it made me so drunk. I mean, the anointing was flowing so heavily. That blessing message, folks, that's ooh-wee. That's a long ways above Lives Matter. You know what I mean? Long ways, man. You get that, and it don't make no difference who you are. You are going to the top. It makes no difference. But anyway, so what was I saying? Where was I? I was on Luke 20. All right? All right, put it up there again. All right, that scripture. He lifted up his eyes, his disciples said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, what is he saying? He is not saying, "Well, sister, I know you're poor, but just keep a stiff upper lip. Because when you get to heaven, you're going to run around heaven all day." That is not what he was saying. He's saying, now that you're in the kingdom, you are blessed. See, once you come into the kingdom, God has set aside how much? Billions to finance your calling. I don't care whether you're poor, rich, whatever. Once you come into the kingdom, we sing it every Sunday, everything changes.
Amen.
Say, I'm in the kingdom.
I'm in the kingdom.
Now, seek ye first what?
The kingdom of God.
And his what?
Righteousness.
And what will happen?
All things shall be added unto you.
Everything you need.
Amen.
Everything you need comes the same way. Did y'all get something out of that?
Yeah.
So when I ask you to take that envelope and hold it up and just believe God, that God will fill it up with $1,000, that $1,000 won't even touch your reserves. Man, come on, saints. Let's work this thing. That's what I heard Jake talk about one time. This is Jake. Oh, let's work this thing. You know how Jake talks. Yeah, let's work it. Let's work it for your benefit. Give the Lord a praise. Okay, praise God. Now, did I take too long for that? It was just...